Today on Real Radio.
The Bible says here that the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, take the sandals off from your foot, for the place where you stand is holy ground. It's because the Bible says our God is a God that leads us into battle. This is a pre-birth appearance of Jesus in the Old Testament.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack Hibbs continues in his series through the book of Joshua. Now, as Pastor Jack's already pointed out quite a few times in this series, the entirety of Scripture points to the Messiah of Israel, Jesus himself. Now, Joshua experienced a theophany, if you will, a pre-incarnate appearance of the Lord Jesus himself. Joshua knew right away who he was talking to, and he reacted accordingly, which, by the way, does not involve a whole lot of standing up. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now in a presentation that asks the question, is Jesus really Lord?
1 John 4:1 says, beloved, do not believe every spirit or everything you hear from someone, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God, that every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God, and every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming, and even now is already in the world. People will say, I believe that Jesus came in the flesh. There's very few people stupid enough on the face of the earth to deny that Jesus was ever born in Bethlehem. I mean, that's a fact. You just read Roman history to get it out of secular history and find that out. But Jesus is his name in Greek. Joshua is his name in Hebrew. Jesus, or the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord Jesus Christ. Some people ignorantly think, well, he's got three names, Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus must be his middle name. No, Lord is his title. Jesus is his name, and Christ is the mission. Christ is Greek for Hebrew, Messiah. He's the Savior. If you're a Savior, you're a Christ. If you're a Savior, you're the Messiah. And to say, I believe Jesus came in the flesh, you have to say, I believe Jesus, the Messiah, my Messiah has come in the flesh. That's the way it has to be said. You see, somebody can say, the Bible says, no one can say that Jesus is Lord unless it be by the Holy Spirit. But how many times do you hear people say, Jesus is Lord? And they don't know God. It's because the meaning is altogether important. When somebody says, well, Jesus is Lord, Jesus is Lord, Jesus is Lord, ask them their definition of Lord. You see? Sarah called Abraham Lord. Ladies, the Bible says that you ought to call the husband like Sarah called Abraham. Can you imagine that? I can't imagine Lisa saying, Lord Jack. In fact, if she did, it would be, Lord Jack, mow the lawn. It's the meaning. When you say as a biblical student of the word, Jesus is Lord, you're saying, Jesus is my King. I bow my knee to him completely and to nobody else. He's the one I follow. He's the one in control of my life. He's Lord. Galatians 4:4. We're still under the fact that he's altogether human. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law. The Lord is altogether creator. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Nobody has a problem with that. In fact, if you're a good scientist, you have no problem with that. Evidence is there. But are you aware of Colossians 1:6? That says, for by Jesus, all things were created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible. Whether there be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him, and he is before all things, and in him all things are glued together, consist, are stuck together. Isaiah 40, verse 28. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord is the creator of the ends of the earth. Revelation 3:14, and to the angel of the church at Laodicea write these things, who says, Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. That's his title. And again, John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him, and without him was nothing made that was made. Jesus. Number 8, the Lord is altogether God. And here's where you want to hang on to your seats as we go into this next section here in a moment. In Acts chapter 17, verse 22, Paul the Apostle pulls into Athens, Greece. And he stands there in the middle of the Areopagus and he says, Men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are very religious people. For as I was passing through the city, considering the object of your worship, because they all had idols to all these various gods, and the Athenians wanted to be very, very safe, not to offend any god. It's really quite nice of them, so they worshipped all of them. Paul says, while passing through your city, considering the object of your worship, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God. Well, let's just make sure we cover all our bases. So here's an image to the unknown God. Therefore, the one whom you worship without knowing, him I proclaim to you. What a setup. He's got everybody's ear. Okay, everybody, got your attention? That God that you worship over there, unknown God, I'm the guy that's going to tell you about who he is. Wow, great, we're going to know his name. Tell us, Paul. Okay, God who made the world and everything in it, since he's the Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with human hands, nor is he worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, since he gives to all life, breath, and all things. And he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times and their boundaries of their very dwelling places. Well, tell me, this God that Paul's describing, is he not then in direct relation to your life, if he be this God? John chapter 20, verse 26. And after 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them. And Jesus came with the doors being yet shut and stood in the midst of them. That's a subtle little way of saying he didn't need the door to get in. That's weird, isn't it? And he said, peace to you. He probably had to say peace to them. They freaked out. Peace to you. Then he said to Thomas, Thomas, reach your finger here and look at my hands and reach your hand here and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believe. And Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord and my God. And Jesus said to him, Thomas, because you have seen me and you have believed, blessed are those who have not seen and believe. That's you, by the way. Thomas says, my Lord and my God. He's altogether God. When I ask you who the scripture is speaking about, you are to correctly respond, Jehovah God. That's the right response. Jehovah God. You have that? Let's try it in the count of three. Let it out. 1, 2, 3.
Jehovah God.
Okay. Now don't, as we go through this, don't get tired of saying it. Because there might be somebody in this place here today that the Holy Spirit will use this to prick their heart and to bow the knee. Who was it that Joshua met up with? Who was it? It was actually Jehovah God, captain of the Lord's host. It's called a theophanies or a Christophanies. It's an appearance of Jesus Christ before he was born through Mary. There are many of them in Scripture. Jacob wrestled with the angel of the Lord. Whenever you see that title, not an angel of the Lord, but the Anglios, the messenger of the Lord or angel of the Lord, it is always a pre-incarnate appearance of Christ, always. When Abraham was on the hillside before Sodom and Gomorrah were consumed, 3 angelic personages appeared to Abraham. 2 of them were angels. They went down into Sodom and Gomorrah, and 1 stayed behind, and Abraham called him the Lord. And even makes intercession to the Lord to spare the city. Daniel's friends, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, when they were thrown into the fiery furnace, Nebuchadnezzar looked inside, and Nebuchadnezzar himself said, there's three in the furnace, but they're not being burned, and a fourth one who looks like the Son of God. How did he know that? Isn't that weird? A theophanies. It's common in the Old Testament. Watch this. Pay close attention. The one who said, take off the sandals from your foot, Joshua, you're standing on holy ground, is exactly the same one in Exodus chapter 3 that said to Moses, take off your sandals. The place where you stand is holy ground. One was from a burning bush. The other was from a commander. Just jot it down. Don't turn there. Isaiah 48:12. Listen to me, O Jacob and Israel, my called. I am he. That's, by the way, in singular. I am the first. I am also the last. Who is that?
Jehovah God.
There's no doubt about it. And everybody, even a cultist, would believe that and say that too. Jehovah God. Number 2, Isaiah 44, verse 6. Thus says the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. I am the first, and I am the last, and besides me there's no God. Who is that?
Jehovah God.
Jehovah God. In fact, the first and the last, the word first and last means the one who is responsible for all that began and the one who will consummate in the ending all that there is. He has absolute authority being the first and the last. Absolute authority. In the Greek, it's the beginning of the Greek first letter of the alphabet regarding Alpha and Omega being the last letter of the Greek New Testament. We'll come to this in a moment. But the first and the last, there's no other but him, Jehovah God. And people have no problem with this, and nor should they. Isaiah 41, verse 4, who has performed it and done it, calling the generations from the beginning? I, the Lord, am the first, and I am with the last, I am he. Who is this here? Jehovah God. No doubt about it. The fourth thing we want to see, Isaiah 43, verse 10. You are my witnesses, says the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, nor shall there be after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and besides me there is no other Savior. Who is this? It's Jehovah God. Number 5, Revelation 1:8. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. These are all titles of deity, says the Lord, who is, who was, who is to come, the Almighty. Who is that? That's right. If you can only have one Savior, one beginning and the end, one Alpha and the Omega, one first and the last, one Lord, there can only be one answer, Jehovah God. And right now, a Jehovah Witness would be saying, amen. Oh, this is good. And that's right. Number 6, Revelation 1:11. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. Who is that? Don't get quiet on me now. Number 7, Revelation 4:8. And the four living creatures, each having six wings and full of eyes around it within them, they do not rest day or night, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was, who is to come. Who is that? Who could that be? No doubt about it. Jehovah God. No doubt about it. Number 8, Revelation 22, verse 12 and verse 13. This is powerful stuff. Behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Who can that be? There's only one. Number 9, Revelation 21:6. It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, and I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to those who thirst. Who is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end?
Jehovah God.
Number 10, Revelation 1:17. And when I saw him, John said, I fell at his feet like a dead man. But he laid his right hand upon me and he said, don't be afraid. I am the first and I am the last. Who can that be? You shouldn't be having a problem with this. If you've been brought up in a cult, though, you're starting to squirm a little bit. But I want you to see this morning that I'm not arguing with you. The Bible is arguing with you to recognize who he is. Number 11, it's Revelation chapter 1, verse 18. But in your note-taking, put in parentheses also verse 17. I'm going to read it again because we just read it, but watch what happens now. And when I saw him, John said, I fell at his feet as a dead man. But he laid his right hand upon me, saying, do not be afraid. I am the first and I am the last. I am he who lives and was dead. And behold, I'm alive forevermore. Who is that? Jehovah God. You can read it again. You can study it inside, upside down, any which way. You can look it up in the Bible that the Watchtower Society printed, and it's in their passage, unless they've taken it out recently. Whoever the first and the last is, he lived, he died, and he came back to life. How many first and last are there? Only one. Number 12, Revelation 2:8. These things says the first and the last, who was dead and has come back to life. Who can that be? Jehovah God. You mean Jehovah died? Yeah, that's what it says. But the good part is he rose again from the dead. That's pure Bible. Number 13, 1 John 5:20. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. That's awesome. Who is this? Who's the true God? Jehovah God is. We don't believe in multiple gods. Number 14. 1 Timothy 3:16. For without debate, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. For God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen by angels, preached among the Gentiles, and believed on in the world, and received up into glory. God was manifest in the flesh. This is Jehovah God. The Word became flesh. Number 15, Titus 2:13. Titus chapter 2, verse 13, says that we are to be looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Could that be any more clear? Who is our great God and Savior? Jehovah God. There's only one. Number 16, Philippians 3:20. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we eagerly await for the Savior, the Lord, Jesus Christ. Who's our Savior? Jehovah God. Number 17, John 8:58. Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. In Exodus chapter 3, Moses says, who shall I tell the children of Israel it is that sent me? And God out of the burning bush said to Moses, you tell them the I am sent you. Who is the I am? Jehovah God. The 18th, then Moses said to God, indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me, to whom shall I say it is that sends me? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, this I am has sent you. Again, who is the I am? Jehovah God. And finally this, number 19, John chapter 10, verse 23. Beginning there, and Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch, and then the Jews surrounded him and said to him, how long will you keep us in doubt? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly. And Jesus answered and said to them, I told you, and you do not believe.
the works that I do in my Father's name. They bear witness of who I am, but you do not believe, because you are not of my sheep. As I said to you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone take them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Then the Jews took up stones again to kill him. And Jesus said to them, many good works I have done from my Father. For which of these do you stone me? And the Jews answered and said to Jesus, for a good work we do not stone you, but for blasphemy. Because you, being a man, Anthropos, because you, being an Anthropos, declare yourself to be a Theos. And they picked up stones to kill him. You, being a man, declare yourself to be God. And the Jews believed that they should kill Jesus because he was making himself God. Jesus says, for what good work are you going to stone me? Well, we're not going to kill you for any of your works. We're going to kill you because you're saying you're God. When the Bible says here that the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, take the sandals off from your foot, for the place where you stand is holy ground, it's because the Bible says our God is a God that leads us into battle. This is a pre-birth appearance of Jesus in the Old Testament. If this morning you have never come to grips with the fact that God himself clothed himself in human skin and came to the earth to die for our sins. You see, if you put it in that perspective, you see how stupid and foolish it is to think that you can earn your way into heaven. Don't be such a knucklehead. It's a Hebrew word, knucklehead. It means dumb. Don't be dumb. Know the truth. For those of you who are trying to work your way into the kingdom, it won't happen. You might do good on Monday, but here comes Tuesday. Oh no, cast yourself down at his feet. Take off your sandals. Because right here is holy ground. I love when Joshua said, are you for us or are you for them? No. No. Could that mean that even if you're for him or even if you're against him, that he can become the captain of your soul? Have you been kicking against God all your life? It's time to take your sandals off. Stop being a crazy person. It's time to give up. Jesus Christ is God, Jehovah God, who died on the cross and rose again from the dead. He's the Savior. He's the I Am. He's the first and the last. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He's the Redeemer. He's the Savior. He's it. He's all. You use this information to liberate and set free those who come to your door. Now, I know it wasn't popular to give this message, and I'm going to get notes about this. Just do your homework before you send me a note. Don't tell me what your bishop or your elders are saying at your place. Read the book and be saved.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Radio. In a study that takes a look at three amazing verses at the end of Joshua chapter 5, it's a message called, Is Jesus Really Lord? It's a question that at some point in life challenges every professing believer. Is Jesus really Lord? It's part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse journey through this fascinating Old Testament book of Joshua, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. By the way, in addition to Real Radio, you can also see Pastor Jack on hischannel.com. That's hischannel.com. And look for Journey with Jack Hibbs. That's the name of our half-hour television program, Journey with Jack Hibbs. We think you're really going to like it. Did you also know that Wednesday evenings, hischannel.com broadcasts Pastor Jack's midweek study live? That's hischannel.com, 7:30 p.m. West Coast time. Our telephone number here at Real Radio, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.